Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk that. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Time to talk about the 49ers making some more moves in free agency, whether that is bringing some of their own players back or bringing in guys from the outside the organization to fill holes. 49ers have been taking advantage of wave two of free agency. A lot of attention goes into that legal tampering period. And then, of course, once the official league year starts, everyone pays attention to those initial signings, but as the week goes on, you start getting these moves that are less splash and more substance. You get guys that are going to come in for different reasons, whether that is to fill a potential hole or to add depth to a position or to add special teams prowess. And the 49ers have been trying to find ways to bring in guys to help bolster this roster. Some of the key elements to what the 49ers have been doing is players must stay healthy for the most part in their career. 49ers are valuing the amount of snaps you have on the field and not the ones that you have off. We've seen that be a steady thing for the 49ers during this offseason, and they've had to make some tough decisions. They had to move on from one of their really, really good players in Arik Armstead and just decide that at the value at which his contract was, they didn't feel it added enough value to the team, and they wanted to add players in other areas, and they did. And those big-time signings were huge for the 49ers football team. They got guys on the outside like Leonard Floyd or Yurtos Gross-Matos. Those guys are going to help on the edge. They brought guys on the inside as well. Malik Collins in a trade for Houston for a seventh-round draft pick, pick 232. But also getting a guy from the Cleveland Browns and Jordan Elliott that's going to be a big-time run stopper. So the 49ers made those initial moves, and those moves have been fantastic for this football team. But now it was time to still fill holes. You had to fill a hole at linebacker. You thought Eric Kendricks was going to be that guy. Then he decided to take his talents elsewhere before officially signing the contract. And you're allowed to do that. We see players do that sometimes. They have a change of heart. Usually it's to go back to the team that they were playing for before. But in this case, with Kendricks, it was to go to a situation he felt comfortable with, being with Mike Zimmer, his former head coach, and now defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. So the 49ers had to go ahead and make moves in several areas. But to do that, they have to have money to be able to make those moves. And what if I told you as of right now, the 49ers are going to have $36 million in cap space, at least until these signings officially hit. but they freed up cap space with some restructures of some of their key veterans and also the release of Eric Armstead. Now, the Armstead money is going to be earmarked for post-June 1, so that $18 million won't be available for the 49ers right now, but they can make the necessary moves they need to right now and then save that for later when they have to go ahead and bring in draft picks and everything else. They can kind of know that they have that money on the horizon. So 49ers have been freeing up cap space to make a move, and they have been kind of talking to some of the bigger name free agents that are still available. Nothing has materialized yet, but we're going to talk about all the signings and the things that they have materialized right now and those key restructuring of contracts to free up money so the 49ers can use it in other areas. All that coming up in this episode. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to Bet Online today to become part of the team. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And for the 49ers, what they had to start was create cap space. And we knew they were up against the cap. They were going to have to free up money. And that's why they went to Eric Armstead and asked him to restructure his contract. And that's why they went to Kyle Juszczyk and asked him to restructure his contract. And with Eric Armstead, he didn't feel like that was a good situation for him. And so he asked to be able to test the market. And ultimately, he found a deal he liked in Jacksonville. Trent Baalke drafted him in San Francisco. And so now he gets reunited and heads on over to Florida. Because guess what? Money that you get in Florida is worth a lot more than money you get in California because of taxes. So even though it doesn't appear to be a raise, it is a raise for him to be able to go there. So adios to one of the real greats in 49ers history, Eric Armstead. He's going to be missed around the facility. He's going to be missed on the field. We wish him nothing but the best. But the 49ers went to other players on the team as well to restructure contracts, and most were more willing to meet the 49ers' demands. We had restructures of contracts from Fred Warner and George Kittle that freed up $10 million apiece. So both of these guys went ahead and did what the 49ers were hoping they would do and convert that money into a signing bonus, and it would be spread amongst the life of the contract, and that they would be able to free up money to use right now, and that's what they're using to make some of these moves. Also, Javon Hargrave freed up $7.7 million for the 49ers with a restructure that moved a lot of that money converted it to a signing bonus. He gets the money up front, and then that money is distributed through the life of the contract. No extra void years. They already had void years available and connected to his contract, Javon Hargrave. So this is going to stretch out over 5 years. That was the total life of the contract. If you included void years, it's really a 3-year deal. But just so you know, that money is eventually going to hit the 49ers cap, but you're hoping, and when you get to those years, the salary cap has accelerated so much that you can kind of withstand it. And instead of it being a big splash in your salary cap, that it's a little ripple. And that's what the 49ers are hoping, but they're trying to make it relevant right now while they have a rookie pay scale at quarterback to go out and get a championship. They're trying to win with this core group of players, and Javon Hargrave restructuring does that. Now, is there questions about him restructuring at his age? Can that be concerning? Absolutely, it can. Now, a lot of people are saying Hargrave had a very disappointing year because he had 7.5 sacks and they were expecting more. I think you're hoping for double-digit sacks from an interior defensive lineman that you signed for over $20 million. But let's remember, 7.5 sacks is more sacks than the 49ers had the previous year completely from everyone on the interior defensive line. 49ers were struggling to get pressure. So Javon Hargrave getting 7.5, even though it didn't probably meet expectations of most, was definitely a welcome sign. And you can only hope that he's going to improve and have even a better season if he has consistent play next to him with guys like Malik Collins and others that are going to be stepping up, including guys we're going to talk about coming back. And then Kyle Juszczyk, and his was very subtle, but he did restructure his contract to free up $1.75 million for the 49ers to use. His wife made a very funny Instagram reel to illustrate he was coming back using Wolf of Wall Street. It was really funny, and I've gotten to really enjoy the Juszczyk overall, whether it's Kyle or Kristen. Both of them are very funny, and they post a lot of cool stuff on social media. So I like keeping Kyle Juszczyk in San Francisco, not just for his abilities on the field, which are vast because he's like a Swiss Army knife, but also just because of what he means to that locker room. Really good communication with Brock Purdy. They have a good relationship, but with Christian McCaffrey and with George Kittle, he's very integral to what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have wanted to do in San Francisco. He was their first major signing when they came in 2017. He's the one that has been the bearer of the guy that has held the bar of what that culture is supposed to look like. Armstead was coming from a previous culture, but Kyle Juszczyk came in and helped set the culture for the San Francisco 49ers. I love keeping Kyle Juszczyk involved. So let's talk about what the 49ers have been doing. And we talked about this in length before we got to free agency, where we kind of ranked the 49ers' needs. And I had linebacker as number one, defensive line as number two. And a lot of people would rather have offensive line up there. But I had O-line number three with the way the 49ers value and evaluate things. The offensive line in free agency, this is kind of my expectation of what it was going to be. Then quarterback, because you knew you were going to have Sam Darnold leave. Brandon Allen was a free agent. What were you going to do there? Then cornerback, tight end, safety. And then you get down to wide receiver and running back, which you had a lot of depth. And the 49ers have continued. So 49ers go and they go out and they get a big-time linebacker in Devondre Campbell. And we talked about this. They wanted it to be Eric Kendricks. Probably the money would have been $4 or $5 million. We'll wait to see what Campbell's money looks like. But this is a guy that's had some success in the league. He was a All-Pro in 2021. I would argue that that is by far his best season. And after that, he hasn't looked like that player. Now, he claims on his Instagram today that if he gets the right opportunities, he's going to show everyone how good he could be, but he's been misused. That is always a possibility. Rich Madrid, who covers the 49ers and Green Bay Packers, has said that Devondre Campbell hasn't been exactly what everyone was hoping he was going to be. But there's a lot of optimism. And the 49ers needed to bring in a key veteran because you do have a couple of young guys that you're very high on. You have guys like D. Witters that have all the athleticism in the world, but it hadn't really materialized in on-field play. You have Jalen Graham, who had a fantastic preseason, but the 49ers felt like during the season, D. Witters actually passed Jalen Graham as far as developing. And the natural instincts for D. Winners are what are really off the charts. But how quickly is he going to become that player? You want to make sure you give him a chance to grow. If he steps in this year and plays at a high level, that's fantastic. But you don't know what you're going to have with Dre Greenlaw. Is he going to be back for week one? Is it going to be November? And I think that's where you have to make sure you got a guy like Campbell, a veteran who's seen it all in this league, that can light up next to Fred Warner and play those 70 to 75% of the snaps in the 49ers nickel and base packages. That will allow you, if you need to play one of the rookies at the Sam linebacker spot. Well, they'll play 20 to 25% of the snaps. Less opportunities for them to struggle and hurt you. 49ers could also make another move at the linebacker position, bring back Oren Burks, and then have Campbell, Burks, who are former teammates in Green Bay, to go along with Fred Warner. But right now, that hasn't been the case. So Campbell comes in. He's going to step into the Greenlaw role early. He's going to play Will linebacker. And the 49ers know they've got a veteran who understands concepts, who understands schemes, who knows how to get downhill and make tackles. And that's exactly what they needed to do. But a guy that's on the field and next to Fred that they can count on. That way they don't have to count on young players, whether that is D. Winters and Jalen Graham, or that is somebody they pick up in the draft to step in day one. I still expect them to address it in the draft and get a young player to come in and compete. And we'll see what the 49ers do there. To make sure that they have the depth that they need at the linebacker position, they're also bringing back Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles on a one-year deal. So 49ers now have a linebacker room that's pretty good. You got Fred Warner and you got Dre. And we got to kind of keep Dre over to the side because we don't know when Dre Greenlaw is going to be able to help this football team. So you've got now Fred Warner, Devondre Campbell, Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles. If that has to be your starting unit, It's not exactly what you want. It's not as strong as it's been before, but you know you have veteran leadership and veteran ability. Flanagan Fowles will be going into year six, understanding this 49ers system and scheme and feeling confident next to Fred. And once Dre gets back, you're talking Dre and Campbell splitting time next to Fred Warner. But when you're in base sets, all three of those guys on the field together sounds pretty good for the 49ers. And then you've got the young guys. So 49ers are making sure they fill this linebacker position so they don't have a need when they go into the draft. They could still address it, and I think they will get at least one linebacker. We'll see. But the 49ers go ahead and make sure their linebacker position, which I believed was the number one position of need heading into free agency, because I believe it needed to be a veteran. The 49ers address it in a big way with two solid signings. Campbell coming in, Flanagan Fowles coming back. And I'm not a huge fan of Flanagan Fowles at linebacker consistently. I think that he's had improvements, but also there's a special teams aspect to this. So I think the 49ers would love for D. Winters or Jalen Graham to step up in the Sam linebacker spot. That's why I also don't think they're done. Maybe they do get Oren Burks to come back, play the same role he played last year. But we'll see what the money looks like for Oren Burks, because the value around the league, special teams-wise, could price him out in San Francisco. Now, on the defensive line, we know they brought in Leonard Floyd, Gross Matos, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, but they also re-signed Kevin Givens to a one-year deal. So now you're talking about that interior defensive line looking pretty stout. You've got Javon Hargrave. You've got Malik Collins. Those are probably your likely starters at the defensive tackle position. Then you've got Elliott and Givens as a nice rotation. And then you've got Kalia Davis as well at T.Y.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
McGill, we know they're high on Kalia Davis, but now Kalia Davis is going to have to battle to make sure he gets reps. He's in direct competition with Kevin Givens, and if he doesn't pan out, he's going to be potentially gone. So 49ers are definitely making sure they turned over this defensive line, and they did a very good job on the interior part of their D-line fixing it. So one and two pretty much addressed. I think number one position linebacker still needs to be addressed a little bit. I think they've done a very good job with defensive line. Edge rusher in the draft, potentially, and if a edge rusher becomes available that's not too expensive, I could see the 49ers bringing someone in, because they'd still need to make sure they have a solid four-man rotation. And what are you going to get from Robert Beal and Drake Jackson? I think that's a big question. Maybe you get someone for them to compete with. So we'll see what the 49ers do. As far as offensive line, 49ers addressed offensive line early with Ben Bartsch. A lot of people probably don't really care about that move a whole lot, because Bartsch was on the roster last year, but he was a late addition from Jacksonville. And I always listen to Chris Foerster. Foerster's one of my favorite ones when he does his coaching press conference, because you get a lot of insight into the run game, but also the offensive line. And he talked about how much the coach, one of the coaches that he's friends with, was a huge fan of Ben Bartsch. And once he saw film and got him here, he really understood why. Position versatility to play both guard spots and center, but a guy that has some of the same struggles, pretty good at getting to the second level, struggles to anchor, but a guy they felt like if they worked with and worked with consistently, he could elevate his game. And I think that's a solid move, because Nick Sakel hasn't worked out through two seasons, whether it's been ineffectiveness or injury. He has not been that guy they were hoping he was going to be. They thought he was a five-position player, a guy that could play the center, guards, or tackles. So far, that hasn't materialized. So now, Ben Bartsch is there to compete. And if Ben Bartsch outplays Nick Sakel, he'll be out the door. So the 49ers are bringing in a guy here with versatility, and that's what you have to have. 49ers are going to have a good battle at potentially center at some point if Barge continues to elevate his game. But upside for Barge, he's somebody to watch throughout training camp. I think he's a solid player for the 49ers. And then John Feliciano just come back on a one-year deal. So now the 49ers do have their starting offensive line from the Super Bowl back. Feliciano gets a one-year deal with the 49ers. So lots of people probably not happy that the 49ers just went right back to the same offensive line that they had last season. But the truth is value, and the value you find in offensive line, you find better value in the draft because you can bring in young players. 49ers do have pick 31. You bring in a young player that's a lot cheaper than a tackle on the open market. Signing a tackle in free agency is a couple of things make it difficult. Number one, if you get one of the really good ones, they usually want to play left tackle. If you get one of the really good right tackles, you have to overpay him. Last year, Mike McGlinchey getting over $18 million from the Denver Broncos, way overpay for a player that the 49ers are getting the same value with Colt McKivitz. $7 million extension for Colt McKivitz, but exact same play as far as numbers-wise and PFF grade as Mike McGlinchey. So the value is what the 49ers are looking for, and I think you find more value in the draft. It doesn't mean if the right free agent came along, you wouldn't address it. It doesn't mean they're still not talking to some of those offensive linemen that are available. But I don't know if the caliber of player is available, especially at the tackle position, to bring in and a guy that's willing to play right tackle. Most of these players want to play left tackle because that's where the most value is. That's where the contract is. So getting them to sign up to play right is a lot more difficult. But drafting someone, you could have them come in, compete with Colt McKivitz in year one. If they beat him out, great. If they don't, you develop him, and next year you have a guy that's potentially ready to start opposite of Trent Williams. And then 2 years from now, switch to left tackle, step in, and be the heir apparent to Trent Williams at left tackle. This is a very good offensive line draft, and I think that's where the 49ers find their most value for offensive line. So right now it's status quo. Starting offensive line, your backups, Ben Bartsch, Nick Zakel, Spencer Burford, Jalen Moore, and Matt Pryor is the only one that really goes away right now. So 49ers have basically just ran it back, and then we'll look to address it potentially in the draft. We'll see if anything happens, anything materializes with other offensive linemen, but it looks like this is the way the 49ers are going to go with it, and it's probably the most efficient money-wise, but we'll see. Can they improve? Can they get better? 49ers need to make sure this offensive line plays at top level, and we'll see what happens. Now, quarterback, they did the Brandon Allen thing. Since then, nothing. Darnold moved on. 49ers could just be waiting for the right veteran to bring in as quarterback three, or they could just draft somebody. So we're still waiting to see who's going to be quarterback two or quarterback three in San Francisco. My expectation would be that they're looking for quarterback three. Of course, the news dropping right before I went to record this video that Jimmy Garoppolo actually signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Rams to back up Matthew Stafford. So 49ers could go out and get somebody else, a Carson Wentz potentially, who for whatever reason is a 49ers killer. But there are guys like that available that are super cheap. I've brought up Nate Sudfeld as well. That would make a lot of sense. Now, the number five position on my list was cornerback. And I believe the 49ers were going to go out and hit a cornerback. I just didn't know what that money was going to look like. Originally, I would have liked to have been someone like Emmanuel Mosley, a little bit cheaper, but a guy that had the ability to play outside. Mosley, of course, signed back with Detroit. And we've seen some of the more expensive corners stay out on the open market right now. Stephon Gilmore, not signed. Guys like Tre'Davious White, not signed. So their cornerback still available that could play on the outside. The 49ers could still address cornerback in a big way if they felt they wanted to spend money that way. But right now, they're being very, very shrewd with their money and bringing in guys that are more back-end guys and subtle helpers as far as depth-wise for your big-time players in Charvarius Ward and Diamondre Lenore. So 49ers, first off, signed Chase Lucas from Detroit. He's been with Detroit for a couple of years now. Came out in the 2022 NFL draft, a seventh-round pick out of Arizona State. 5'11", about 186 pounds. Very solid guy in special teams especially, but a guy that's a little bit smaller on the stature side. Makes a lot of sense with the way that he had
some of his skill set coming out of the draft that he would play nickel corner. Like, this is a guy that could come in and compete at the nickel corner spot. What the 49ers are doing is making sure they have depth and they have players that can compete. So they bring in Chase Lucas. He's going to help in the nickel area. I'm sure that's going to be a focus of his game. And then special teams. That way the 49ers are making the guys at the end of this roster, Sam Womack and Ambry Thomas, compete for their jobs. But we'll see what Lucas ends up being. But that was a nice, subtle move. A guy that has 2 years of experience, no starts under his belt, but he's played in several games as special teams player. And at the end of your roster, you need to have guys that you can count on to play special teams. And I think Lucas is going to be one of those guys that competes, but I think he settles in more in the nickel. And then they signed Isaac Yiadom. He had 28 starts in his career so far, and he was playing with the New Orleans Saints last year, but he's had stops around the league, including Denver and Houston, and last year in New Orleans. And this guy is 6'1", just about 200 pounds. He fits the 49ers mold for an outside corner. And with 28 starts in the league, it's a guy that's got a lot of experience. Last year in New Orleans, he started 8 games, and he had 14 pass breakups and 1 interception. That's really good number. So here's a guy that's been ascending and playing well. And what I found was interesting is I mentioned he was in Denver. He was in Denver in 2018 and 2019. Guess who was in Denver in 2018 and 2019? Brandon Staley. So more firsthand knowledge from Brandon Staley. Staley was linebacker coach then, but Vic Fangio was running the team. So we know Staley and Fangio had a real connection, and that defensive style is something I looked at the 49ers are trying to implement. Is some of the Fangio scheme to go with what Nick Sorensen did with the Legion of Boom, and we're going to get a crossover between the two. But bringing in a guy that's got the length like the Legion of Boom, 6'1", and above, a physical player, but also a guy that's played in Vic Fangio's cover four scheme, it makes a lot of sense, that quarter scheme. So 49ers bringing in guys that are probably under the radar, aren't going to be too expensive, but have upside, and I think this is one that I really like. Isaac Yiadom is a very good signing for the 49ers. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all, but now you've got a guy that you can for sure replace Ambry Thomas with. If you need to move Ambry Thomas on, you need a cornerback four, I think this is a solid move for the 49ers. It doesn't mean they're not going to go bigger. They're not going to go bold. They're not going to get someone in the draft, because at 31, there could be some real players available for them in that position. We don't know if Kool-Aid will still be available at 31, but there are other guys like Kamari Lassiter, who's I'm a huge fan of Kamari Lassiter. The fact that he ran a 4.5 at the Georgia Pro Day is good news. A lot of people were concerned about his number, the speed, but everything on film looked good for me. And if you have me on Patreon, you know he was one of my star players. And so Kamari Lassiter would be somebody that the 49ers could be interested in 31 if one of those offensive tackles is not available. There's no guarantee that one of those 7 offensive tackles that everyone likes, and you know, for the 49ers, it might be 5 or 6, won't already be off the board. All the edge rushers they really like won't be off the board. And now with the insulation already at defensive tackle, that might not be where they go. So offensive tackle, cornerback seems to be the avenue. 49ers could potentially get a big time player that way. But right now, 49ers going out and getting Chase Lucas and Isaac Yiadom to go ahead and help this football team. 1 more nickel, 1 more outside. 49ers fortifying their depth and finding another Brandon Staley connection for the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers have yet to address tight end. That's still something they need to do. Let's see if somebody becomes available. We'll be watching that as the second and third wave of free agency continue over the weekend. Safety, the 49ers brought back George Odom, giving him close to $5 million, and that's a big-time contract, $5 million a year, special teams guy, potentially third safety. And all the conversation now after a Mike Silver article was potentially the 49ers looking to address safety and go for a big time safety. They of course mentioned Cameron Curl, but he signed already with the Rams. So the other thought was Justin Simmons. That's going to take a lot of money, but Justin Simmons has been a multiple time all pro in this league. He's an absolute guided missile in the run game and is a very good ball hawk. So you could easily bring in Simmons. What does that mean for Talanoa Hufanga? Does that mean Simmons and Hufanga play together? It could. Does that mean that Hufanga is not guaranteed a starting spot, as Mike Silver said? That I don't know. I just know the 49ers are still high on Talanoa Hufanga. But yeah, anytime you can improve a position and potentially you see a guy like that that's a perennial all-pro, you have to at least kick the tires on it and see what happens. So Justin Simmons seems to be a potential target for the 49ers as they look to address all three levels of their defense. And right now, cornerback and safety seem to be positions they could still address. Cornerback has been more shrewd, under-the-radar moves. Nothing big yet, but safety, it looks like they might be looking to go big and bold at the safety position, and we'll see if they do it. And then wide receiver Chris Conley comes back to San Francisco. This made a lot of sense. I don't know if they're done, but they liked what Chris Conley was doing blocking, and then he was very efficient in the passing game in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, making some plays for them. A big body that Brock Purdy felt comfortable with. He ran some good routes and got open. I think right now he would be a solid wide receiver four. I think they're still going to look for somebody to come in to be the backup Z receiver for Deebo Samuel. And with Ray McLeod moving on, they need somebody that potentially could fill that role. They'd love to get someone that has the special teams and return team ability. We'll see about that. But right now they bring in Chris Conley, and we'll see what Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell do. But now they have to compete. Chris Conley has to compete. This was a good signing for the 49ers. I think Conley brings the right attitude, the physicality, the veteran ability. So 49ers addressing some of their needs with players they're already comfortable with, bringing guys back, but also sprinkling in guys from around the league that they know they have to fill holes with. So far, good free agency for the 49ers. I think it would have been better if they would have had Eric Kendricks, but they can't control what he decides to do. And, of course, they would have loved to have not lost Eric Armstead and had him be one of those players that restructured the contract. That does not happen. But whenever you get lemons, you have to make lemonade, and it feels like that's what the 49ers are trying to do. You have to pivot. And in this league, you just don't know how things are going to go. And I think they've pivoted in a good way. Are they done? No. Do they still have room for improvement? Absolutely. I think some key under-the-radar free agent moves are still going to come. And then, of course, you're going to have to make sure you do really well in the draft and some undrafted free agents, because the 49ers have a lot of their 90-man roster they still have to go ahead and fix. But they're moving in the right direction, and that's all you can ask. A flurry of moves today, and I'm sure there will be more over the next several days. And back on here and talk to you guys about it. I hope you guys all enjoyed the episode. Thanks for coming through and watching 49ers Cutback. Like and subscribe to the channel. And this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. Hope to catch you guys all on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.